All right, we're going to get this thing kicked off. We're going to wrap up tonight. We haven't spent too much time in Hebrews chapter 11. Obviously, we could have taken more time to look at some of these different folks that we've looked at. But this wasn't going to be something that we were really going to dig into too deep. This is just kind of a brief thing. And so we are going to skip a few folks tonight just for time's sake and just kind of hit some of the high points as we get ready to close up. But I appreciate y'all coming for the last couple of weeks. We have looked at Abel. We looked at what it means to give by faith. We looked at Enoch, talked about what it means to walk by faith. Noah, what it means to live by faith. We saw Abraham week four last, what it means to go by faith. And Sarah, waiting by faith. And we've seen a lot of other people that we've talked about, some that we're familiar with, the Free Burma Rangers and David Eubank, and kind of how he's doing his work by faith. We talked about George Mueller. Maybe some of you have researched him and read some more of his story. If you hadn't, that would be a good thing to do. Last week, we talked about Hudson Taylor and the work that he did in China. It's kind of a more modern example of what it means to live by faith. So we've been looking at some of these in the Scripture, but also some more modern examples of walking by faith as well. So we'll continue that same pattern tonight. We'll look at three examples of faith in Hebrews 11, then we'll talk about a more modern example. So let's pray, and then we'll get started. God, we come to you tonight, and I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us to be men and women of strong faith, dear Lord. And oftentimes, we really don't know how strong our faith is until it's tested, but I pray that you would help our faith to be strong. I pray that we would have faith in you, that we would trust you, that we would walk by faith, that we would live by faith, dear Lord, and in every aspect of our life. And God, even in our failures, that we would not let that drive us from you. But dear Lord, even then, we would humble ourselves and come before you with faith, dear Lord, as we see so many that we look at in Hebrews 11. God, they weren't examples of perfection. They were examples of failures, but failures who were saved by faith, dear Lord. And that's who we are tonight. So I pray that your Holy Spirit would be with us and help us to grow and to learn something from your word and these we talk about. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen. All right, Hebrews 11, if you hadn't already turned there and you want to, you can. Hebrews chapter 11, the first thing we're going to talk about tonight is suffering by faith. Now, I cut this section down to Moses really brief because we could talk a lot about Moses. There's a lot to talk about. And there's a lot in the book of Hebrews that it talks about Moses. Just the fact that Moses' mother decided to hide him when all the other children were being killed. That was an act of faith. As Moses, you know, held his hands up so the Red Sea would be parted and God's people could walk through on dry land. These are examples of faith in Moses' life. So there was certainly much faith in the life of Moses, and it's covered here in Hebrews chapter 11. But for time's sake, we're just taking one small part of the faith that's recognized for Moses here, and that comes from verses 24 and 25. It says, "By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and chose to suffer with the people of God rather to enjoy the short-lived pleasure of sin." All right, so we see Moses had a choice here. And the choice that Moses had was he could have lived in the palace of Pharaoh and he would have had a pretty luxurious life. Obviously, Pharaoh was the wealthiest man in the land. He was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. But Moses knew that he wasn't an Egyptian. He knew who he was. He knew he was an Israelite. He knew that his family was not this family of wealth, but he knew that his family were a people of God. He knew his family were slaves at that time. And so Moses had a choice to make. Was he going to be one who lived for God and lived for God's people, or was he going to be one who lived in Pharaoh's palace? And that's kind of the choice that really you and I have to make on some level. Now, we're probably not choosing whether we're going to live in a palace, but we do have that choice to make. Are we going to choose to live for God as God's people and to suffer as God's people often do? Or are we going to choose to live by the ways of the world? Now, nowadays, if you choose to live by the ways of the world, it's likely that you're not going to get much opposition. In fact, you're probably going to be celebrated. If you go out and tell the world that you're a homosexual, they're going to have a parade for you, and they're going to clap for you, and they're going to have a party for you. If you go out and tell the world that you're a man and you're thinking about becoming a woman, they're going to celebrate that. The world celebrates that is evil, but oftentimes the world takes what the Bible calls good and calls it evil. And so we have a choice to make as to whether or not we're going to live by what the world says. If we live by what the world says and seek the wealth of the world and the acceptance of the world, on some levels our life is going to be a lot easier. Because what we see oftentimes, all throughout the scriptures, all throughout church history, not just in modern times, is that it is not easy to be one who's going to stand up for the Lord. And oftentimes, and we're going to see some great examples of that at the end of this chapter, oftentimes what we see is we see when we take that step for the Lord, when we tell the world what you're doing is wrong, what you're doing is sin. God does not approve of that. God's Word says that that is wrong. When we step up and we stand on the truth of God's Word, we better be ready, because the world is going to attack us. There are plenty of places in the world that doing what we're doing tonight would get you killed. And that happens all over the world. There are lots of Christians, of brothers and sisters in Christ, that are being tortured, that are being persecuted, that are being killed for talking about the truths that we're talking about tonight. And we need to realize that these things go on today. It's not like this thing happens occasionally, every once in a while. We don't hear about it much. But it happens all the time, that there are plenty of Christians who are suffering for the kingdom of God because they have made the same choice that Moses made. He had a choice. He could live by the world and wouldn't have really had much to worry about. He could have lived in the palace of Pharaoh and had every need he ever wanted met, or every want he ever wanted he could have had. But instead, he chose to go. He chose to leave. And ultimately, by faith, he trusted God. And by faith, God used him to do great things. But he had to make that decision that ultimately was going to lead to suffering. He was going to have to leave everything he knew. He was going to have to flee for his life. He was going to have to head for the hills to escape for Pharaoh, because once he made that choice that he was not going to live for the world, but that he was going to follow God and be one of God's people, once Moses made that choice, he had to suffer the consequences of that. The consequences in the worldly sense. Now, of course, God blessed him. God used him in a mighty way. But the world was still coming after him. And that's the same for you and I today. We have to be ready that if we're going to be a man or a woman of faith, that we're going to have to take a stand against what the world says sometimes. Even our friends and our family. And it's very difficult to do, to take that stand and say, nope, this isn't right. This is what God calls sin. And I'm not going to celebrate it. I'm not going to pretend like it's right. And I'm going to stand on the Word of God. And I'm going to speak the truth. And I'm going to speak the truth in love, but I'm going to speak the truth. And that takes a lot of faith. And sometimes when we have that kind of faith and live by that kind of faith, it brings about suffering in our life. And that's just one small little section here about Moses. Not much said about it here. This is just one of many things that it says establishes Moses as a man of faith. And we need to be those who are established as men and women of faith who are ready to suffer for the kingdom of God. All right, the next thing we're going to talk about comes from verses 30 and 31. And that is being delivered by faith. 30 and 31 says this: by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after being encircled by the Israelites for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute received the spies in peace and didn't perish with those who disobeyed. Now, this story comes way back from the book of Joshua. Maybe you've read it before. God's people finally make their way into the promised land, and they go to Jericho, and there's a city there. There's walls surrounding the city there. And God says, all right, I'm going to hand this city over to you, and here's what you have to do. You have to walk around the city for 7 days and blow your horn, and then on the seventh day, walk around 7 times, and then everybody's going to holler real loud, and then the wall's going to come tumbling down. Now, that sounds pretty crazy. Now, we read this story, and we say, man, God is good. But how many times May God call us to do something in our life that doesn't even sound nearly as crazy as that, but we don't do what He calls us to do. Now, we might like to tell ourselves, if I would have been there, I'd have been with those people, and I would have done just what God said, and maybe we would have. There were certainly some there who did. It appears that they all did. And maybe we would have too, or maybe we would have started talking to each other and said, what in the world is Joshua talking about here? Why are we marching around this city? What's this got to do? Shouldn't we be like sharpening our swords and getting our shields ready? But nonetheless, God told them to do something that seemed crazy, and God's people did what He said, and as a result, the wall come tumbling down. Now, why did the wall come tumbling down? Surely it must have been that in all those days of marching around the city, and on that seventh day of marching seven times, surely it must have loosened the ground up, and the vibration from the sound of their voices must have weakened the wall, and it crumbled to the ground. That must be how it happened. Nope, that's not how it happened. It happened because they had faith. Because they did what God said. As crazy as it may have sounded, God said to do it. They said, God, if this is what you're telling me to do, I'm going to do it. And guess what happened? When they did what God called them to do, when they walked by faith, literally, around the wall, the wall came tumbling down. We see time and time again people healed in the Scripture. And what does it often say about them? That they are healed by their faith. Jesus will say, your faith has made you well. It's not necessarily that when the woman touched the tassel of Jesus' robe, that his robe had some kind of special power. It's that she had enough faith to know, if I can get close to this guy, there's healing in this guy, not in his robe. And she was healed not because his robe had special power, but because she had faith. He could have took that robe off and set it on the ground, and there might have been 1,000 other people that touched it, and nothing happened to them. Why? Because if they didn't have faith, they weren't going to be healed. Because healing comes by faith. Deliverance comes by faith. And so the walls come tumbling down, and God's people go in and capture the city, but some are spared, and we see one listed here, and that is Rahab. And what does it say about Rahab? By faith, Rahab the prostitute received the spies in peace and didn't perish with those who disobeyed. Now, you may remember the story, you may not, but there were some spies who went into the land, and they were checking things out. And they were going to get caught, except Rahab hit them so that they wouldn't be caught, so that they wouldn't be killed. Rahab hit them, and as a result of that, Rahab was spared. Because Rahab said, look, I've heard about you guys. I've heard about your God. Would you spare me? And they did. When it came down to it and they invaded the city, Rahab was spared. And why? Because she had faith. Now, this is a beautiful example. Because here's Rahab, a foreigner. A foreign people. Now God had come to save his people, but even in the Old Testament, it was never only the Jewish people. It was never only the people of Israel. It was always those who would come and seek God. And sometimes we see Gentiles that would have faith, that would hear of God, that would come, and their faith would save them. And that's what we see of Rahab. She was delivered. But what else do we see of Rahab? It's not like she was an upstanding, wonderful, righteous woman, was she? She was a prostitute. She was a prostitute that did evil, sinful things, but nonetheless, she was delivered. And how was she delivered? Hebrews tells us she was delivered by her faith. Now, this is good news for you and I, because you and I are not just good, upstanding, righteous people. Our best acts before the Lord are as filthy rags, Isaiah tells us. The best things that we can do are pretty rotten. We are pretty sinful. Even on our best days, there are some things that we probably don't like about ourselves. There are some things that go through our mind. There are some things that we say, and there are some things that we do that we just don't like. And we know it's there. We know it's not good. And sometimes, even still, we just repeat these things. Whatever it may be, there's sin in our life. But Rahab's a good example of what it means to trust God in faith. And what's the result of that? Is that God saves even sinners, even some of the worst of sinners that we could think of. That's good news for you and I, because we're some of the worst of sinners that we can think of. But Rahab's a good example of what it means to live by faith. Here's something beautiful about Rahab. If you want to turn to Matthew chapter 1, We see a genealogy here that's leading us to Jesus in Matthew chapter 1 in verse 5. Now you may remember the story from the book of Ruth. If you've never read the book of Ruth, it's a great book. You may remember that Boaz married Ruth at the end of that story. But what you may not realize is what we see here in verse 5. Salmon fathered Boaz by Rahab. Isn't that something? Isn't that something how God works all of these stories together and all of these characters together? And right here in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, we see two beautiful stories, that of Ruth and Boaz and that of Rahab. And all of that come to be because there was one sinful woman who heard about God and believed that God was God and feared the Lord enough to seek Him. And what was the result? She was delivered by her faith. And the same is true for you and I. All right, let's flip back to Hebrews chapter 11. And the last section we're going to talk about is being approved by faith. Now, we've talked about that some in the context of Hebrews, is that the Hebrew audience, they were wanting to earn God's approval by going back to the old ways of sacrifices and doing things. The author of Hebrews has been telling them, look, don't do that. And here's the point. He says, look, all of these people that we're reading about, these people that you know from your history, they were approved by their faith. Not because they offered sacrifices, not because they lived by the letter of the law. Man, there are some bad dudes and chicks in this section. You go back and you see these people, and we remember them as heroes of faith, but their life wasn't perfect. You can find some pretty major flaws in some of the lives of these that we see here in the Scripture. This is too long for me to put on the screen, but if you want to turn to the end of Hebrews 11... the last little bit of it there, starting in verse 32, he begins to sum up a lot of other characters, and he says, look, I don't have time to tell you of all these people. Now, his audience would have known them, and some of these names may seem familiar to you too, and maybe you want to go back and refresh yourself with their stories. But he kind of breezes through some of these characters. He says in verse 32, and what more can I say? Time is too short for me to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah. Okay, those are names that you see in the book of Judges. If you go back and you read in Judges, you'll see these names. And some of these dudes were pretty good dudes, but they had their flaws too. Gideon, you may could say he doubted a little bit. He kind of was hesitant there and asked God to give him a sign, and God gave him a sign, and then he said, well, would you give me one more sign? And so even Gideon shows that maybe there was a little doubt there, but yet he was a man that is remembered here by his faith. We see Barak, we see Samson. If you read the story about Samson, he seemed to be kind of like a bull in a china shop. He was kind of hot-headed, tough dude, and God used him. God used him even though he was kind of foolish, maybe a good word, and hot-headed and on a rampage all the time. God still used him to bring punishment to those Philistines and other enemies. As a result of that, they were looking to get rid of Samson. And Samson had great strength, and it came from the Lord because he was a Nazarite and his hair was long. And if he had been smart and smart enough to not be so infatuated with women, everything would have probably been okay for him. But instead, he gave in. He listened to what Delilah said. His hair got cut, and as a result, he lost his strength. Obviously, he didn't care enough about serving the Lord and remaining faithful to him. And it cost Samson greatly. Because if you remember in that story that Samson is ultimately captured, and it says that they gouged his eyes out. Now, this is pretty serious. They gouged his eyes out, and you think, well, why in the world is this guy in the book of Hebrews as a hero of faith, one who just kind of didn't really do right and ultimately ended up being punished? But at the end of Samson's life, as he was in prison, his hair began to grow back, and it says that he called out to the Lord one more time. He called out to the Lord one more time. Even in all that he had been through, he had enough faith to call out to the Lord and said, God, if you would give me my strength just once more, God, so that I can destroy these people that did this to me. And God did just that. Samson was able to be led into the big Colosseum arena, whatever it was where they were. He was placed in between two of the big pillars, and God gave him that strength. Why? Because he had enough faith to ask God to deliver him. And we need to remember that, because there may be days that we are like Samson, that we really have blown it, and we hadn't really done right by the Lord, and it might get us into some trouble. But we still, even in the midst of our failures, need to be men and women that have faith like Samson did to say, God, I am a sinner, and God, I don't deserve it, and I'm in a bad shape, but God, would you please just have mercy on me? Would you please restore me once more? And here we see in the story of Samson that God did that. Now, in a way, that's a sad story too, and what happened to Samson, but nonetheless, he's remembered here because he had the faith to call out to the Lord. Jephthah, you may remember that story. That's a tough one. We won't go through it tonight, but it's one you should read if you've never read it. David, what about David? Well, David, he's a pretty godly man, king of Israel, but boy, he had some troubles, didn't he? One, he committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then he murdered her husband to cover it up. Okay, this is not a good thing. But yet we see here that David is remembered by his faith. None of these people are remembered because they're perfect. They're remembered because in the midst of their sinfulness, they still called out to God. And ultimately, they would seek him. And ultimately, they would follow him. Ultimately, they would be saved by their faith in the midst of their failures. And this is good news for you and I. This is good news for the audience of the book of Hebrews, because some had turned and were turning, and the author of Hebrews was pointing out this list of people who had failed in some pretty great ways, and the author of Hebrews says, but their faith ultimately saved them. They were approved by their faith. And so there should be some encouragement here, not some license to sin. Oh, well, these people were evil, and look, they're still celebrated, so I'm just going to be evil too. If we believe that, then we've missed the point. These people were broken because of their sinfulness. And yeah, they made some failures, had some failures, but ultimately they trusted in God, and that is why they were approved. And then he goes on to say, Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, gained strength after being weak, became mighty in battle, and put foreign armies to flight. Well, that's a pretty good list of stuff. That's a good list for us to look at. Maybe we need some strength in some of these areas. And how were these people able to do these things that they did? They were able to do these things because of their faith. Now listen to this last section here, to what it says about them. In verse 35, women received their dead, they were raised to life again. Some men were tortured, not accepting release, so that they might gain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, as well as bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they died by the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated. Now that's pretty intense right there. He goes through and he talks about all these people of faith, and then what does he do? And he says, and people of faith suffer greatly. Sawed in two? Holy smokes, that's pretty serious. The author of Hebrews is talking about what we just talked about with Moses, is that if we're going to be men and women of faith, then we need to know that there are sometimes that we are going to have to suffer for the kingdom of God. And so he's telling them, you need to have your faith, but you also need to know that if you're a man or a woman of faith, that look, life is going to be hard, but you need to find encouragement in the ones who have come before you. That you're not experiencing something that other brothers and sisters in Christ have ever experienced. Note, there are those who have come before you, and they have been able to overcome. And so will you if you keep your faith. And that may be important for us to remember these things one day. Could we ever imagine a day that we don't have God's Word to read? Could we ever imagine a day that we go through some of these things or see other Christians that we know, people that we know, go through these things? Maybe should that day ever come, heaven forbid, maybe we remember these scriptures and remember that There are people who have come before me, and they suffered greatly. And there were days that they probably wanted to give up. And there are days that we probably want to give up. But these that come before us are an encouragement to us because they kept the faith. And God delivered them. Sometimes we see their deliverance in the Scriptures. Sometimes, like Samson, look, they die. They come to faith, God gives him the strength, but he died in that rubble with all the other people. But ultimately, Samson is one who was delivered by his faith. And ultimately, you and I will be those who are delivered by our faith if we keep the faith. Listen to this next verse in verse 38. It says, the world was not worthy of them. Isn't that a beautiful thing? The world was not worthy of them. The very people that the world thinks are useless and are scums and are crazy people for worshiping God and reading His Word, what does the author of Hebrews say? He says, look, the world's not worthy of these people. These people are too good for the world. And so it is. What the world values is not what God values. The world values fame and wealth and all that stuff. But what God values is what's right in here. It's what's in our heart. Do we love God? Do we love other people? What's our heart like? Do we have a caring heart, a loving heart? Do we have a heart that's fixed on evil? That's what God's going to see. That's what God's going to look at. God wants us to have a heart that's a heart of faith, a heart that trusts Him. So we want to be those that the world does not consider worthy. But it doesn't matter if the world considers us worthy or not, because we're not judged by the world. We don't fear those who are able to destroy the body, but we fear the one who is able to destroy the body and soul. And so we don't care if we're worthy in the sight of the world. We want to be worthy in the sight of God. And if we want to be worthy in the sight of God and approved by God, that comes by faith in Jesus Christ, by trusting in Jesus Christ. He continues on. They wandered in deserts and on mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these were approved through their faith, but they did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, so that they would not be made perfect without us. Okay, there was something better to come. All these people were in the Old Testament. They didn't see what was promised, but it was coming. It was coming. They were going to be made perfect through us. They were ultimately going to be saved through Jesus Christ, as we are going to be saved through Jesus Christ if we have faith in Him. And all of God's plan is going to come together for those of the past and those in the present and those in the future who have trusted in God. So God had a bigger plan. His promises were going to be fulfilled even if they couldn't see it in their lifetime. Even if the audience of Hebrews couldn't see how God was working His plan out. Even if we don't see how God is working His plan out, we know that God has better promises for us than what this world has to offer. And therefore, we want to be men and women of faith that are approved by our faith because we have trusted in Jesus Christ and are living for Him. So that wraps up our study through Hebrews chapter 11. We kind of hit some of the high points. We hit them quickly, but maybe there are some areas in here that are good for us. Maybe there are some things that helped us to grow. But in light of talking about all this suffering tonight with Moses, and then some of these just horrible things that we see mentioned at the end of Hebrews chapter 11, our more modern-day example of a hero of faith we're going to talk about tonight is Richard Wurmbrand. Has anybody ever heard of Richard Wurmbrand? No hands. All right. We got one. Some of you have. You just forgot because I've mentioned him 3 or 4 times, especially on Wednesday nights. But you need to look this guy up. He has a movie about him called Tortured for Christ. You may want to look it up and read it. There are lots of YouTube videos you can find about Richard Wurmbrand. But he is a great example, a modern day example of suffering for Jesus Christ. Now, Richard Wurmbrand was a Romanian priest, and he was a Lutheran, and he was all about doing the work of the Lord. Except there was one problem: he lived in a communist area, and the communists obviously are not Christian. The communists want to kill Christians. They want to kill any kind of religion. They want to shut them up. Nonetheless, Richard Wurmbrand continued to do the work of God. So much so that he was willing to suffer whatever it took. And suffer he did. He suffered greatly. Some of you may have heard of Voice of the Martyrs. I think it used to be voiceofthemartyrs.com. Now it's persecuted or persecution.com. Just look up Voice of the Martyrs. He kind of started that to bring awareness to other martyrs, to brothers and sisters in Christ who have died and serving Christ. Anyway, it's a great, great resource where you can see a lot of these stories. He wrote several books, but for 14 years he was in prison for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's what he said one time. It was strictly forbidden to preach to other prisoners. It was understood that whoever was caught doing this received a severe beating. A number of us decided to pay the price for the privilege of preaching. So we accepted their, the communists, terms. It was a deal. We preached and they beat us. We were happy preaching. They were happy beating us. So everyone was happy. Now, we laugh at that, but can you imagine being in prison year after year after year and being beaten day after day after day, being shoved in a hole 12 foot in the ground, not seeing the light of day, not being able to move, not being able to have communication with anybody else, not hearing a sound. Even the guards, when they would stick them down in those holes, the guards would wear felt on their shoes so they wouldn't even hear them walking. They were in darkness and they were in silence. How many of us would last that long? How many of us would say, like Richard Wurmbrand, I'm going to preach and they're going to beat, but I'm going to keep preaching? His story is phenomenal. There are so many stories, as you can only imagine, from being 14 years in prison. But this is a modern example of a man who lived by faith. And how can we know our faith is real other than passing the test? Richard Wurmbrand had decided. He had a wife, he had a child, but he had decided that the kingdom of God was the most important thing. Now that takes a lot of faith to do that. Knowing what might happen. Knowing that you might be arrested. And indeed he was. And all the communists, the communist ways, if you read their ways and the things that they do, it's pretty eye-opener. If you don't know anything about communism, read Richard Wurmbrand. He'll tell you some things that you're not going to like. Nonetheless, he was in prison. One of his stories that he told, he was in a jail cell, and he would pray. However, you couldn't pray. He prayed every day, and they beat him every day. They would take him, they would see him praying, and they would drag him down the hall, and they would hang him up, and they would beat the bottoms of his feet. And they would beat the bottoms of his feet, and they would beat the bottoms of his feet, until all of the skin was worn from the bottom of his feet. And he would go back to his jail cell, and he would pray the next day. And they would see him praying, and they would take him down the hall, and they would beat the bottom of his feet. So much so that he said you cannot even imagine the pain that he felt. He said he could not even describe the pain that that was. But yet day after day, he would pray, and day after day they would beat the bottom of his feet. So much so all the skin was gone, and there was nothing but bare bone on the bottom of his feet. And every day he would pray to God. And one day, one of the guards came in and he told Richard Wurmbrand, he said, "Why are you praying? You're in prison. You get beaten every day. Your wife is in prison. Your child is an orphan now. Everything you have has been lost. Everybody you know is in horrible shape. You're being beaten every day. What in the world do you have left to pray for?" And Richard Wurmbrand looked at the guard and he said, "I was praying for you." And there were even some of those guards during his stay in prison who gave their life to Jesus Christ. Because there was a man who for 14 years lived out what faith is. Boy, I'd love to think that I could do that. I don't know. Could I make it 14 seconds? Could I make it 14 minutes? Those of you who have kids and grandkids, could you do it knowing that your wife was going to be taken? Your child was going to be taken? When all you had to do when they say, "Do you know Jesus and will you tell about Jesus?" You could just say no. And they would have gone to the next house and they would have left you alone. But that's what faith is. Faith doesn't say no. I heard this story some years ago and I don't remember the details. I remember it somewhat. And I think this was the story of Richard Wurmbrand, maybe someone who was in prison with him. And this guy was in prison. And they were beating him mercifully, like all the rest of them. And then they brought the man's son in. And they told the man, if you don't deny Jesus, we're going to beat your son until he dies. We're going to kill him too. And the father was ready to denounce Jesus. He was ready to denounce his faith. And his son said, if you deny Jesus, you are no father to me. Whoa! What in the world? What kind of faith is that? That you have a father and a son and they're both in prison? The father had been there for some time and hadn't denied the faith. And even as he was ready to deny Jesus, the son stepped up with an unbelievable faith. Now these are examples of faith, y'all. This is serious faith. I don't think any of us know anything about what this is like, what this kind of suffering is like. But this is not just a one-off story. This is not the only guy in the last 100 years that's been beaten in this way for Christ. This goes on today in 2024. There are Richard Wurmbrands in the world in prisons today who are being beaten mercifully because they say God is good, because they say Jesus loves you, because they say love your neighbor, love your enemy, take care of those who are in need. Now that doesn't sound like a message that deserves a beating, but it's threatening to our world. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is threatening to our world because our world says everything is right. You do what you want to do. But the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Word of God says you're sinners who need to be saved of your sins, who need to repent and no longer live for yourself and for your sin, but live for Jesus. But our world doesn't want to do that. Our world is selfish and wants to live for itself, and maybe we do too sometimes. But we want to strive to be men and women of faith, that we realize that our relationship with God is the most important thing, that we strive to be like these examples that we see, that on those days that maybe we are tempted like the Hebrews here were, those days that we are tempted to turn from God, that we are tempted maybe to deny Jesus. And maybe you'd say today, I'd never do it. We're not going to do it today, sitting in the air conditioning with a bunch of food back there. We're fixing to laugh and cut up, have a good time. There's no threat of us denying Jesus tonight, I don't think. I hope not. But we don't know what the future holds. And so we need to pray that God would help us to be strengthened in our faith, that we would be men and women of faith, just like these we see in Hebrews 11, just like these other more modern examples that we've seen. And what wonderful examples they are. One last thing that Richard Wurmbrand said was this: a faith that can be destroyed by suffering is not faith. And how true that is. Do we really have faith? If we had to suffer greatly, would our faith crumble? If so, then maybe we don't really have faith at all. But we want to be those who have faith, who grow in our faith, and who ask God to strengthen our faith so that we will be those who are ready to serve God no matter what may come our way. Let's pray. God, we come to you. We thank you for your good word. We thank you for the ones that we looked at tonight. I pray, God, that you would help us to be like Moses, that we would be ready to give up the world to live for you, dear Lord. I pray that we would be like the ones who marched around Jericho, that whatever you call us to, no matter how weird it may sound, that we just do what you say, dear Lord, and let you take care of the rest. I pray that you'd help us to be like Rahab, to remember that even if we are sinners, that God, if we would just seek you and fear you and keep your commands and have faith like she did, God, we could be a crucial part of your plan. Just as we see Rahab in the genealogy of Jesus, God, maybe there's things you're going to use us for that we might not understand or see for generations to come. But dear Lord, if we're men and women of faith, we can be used by you. God, we thank you for all these in the Bible that have suffered greatly. We thank you for people like Richard Wurmbrand. God, I pray that you would be with our brothers and sisters in Christ tonight. Those who are suffering tonight, God, we cannot even imagine it. And I pray that you would encourage them. I pray that you'd give them the strength. I pray that they would feel your presence, dear Lord, that they would just hang on, God, that they would not give up. God, I even pray for the ones who are persecuting them. I pray that through their perseverance, dear Lord, that they would even win some souls to Jesus Christ. God, I pray that you would change hearts in this world. I pray that you would strengthen our hearts, dear Lord, that you'd strengthen our faith. God, we want to say, and I hope we are, those who would stand up for you in any circumstance. But God, we just have to be ready. So help us just to keep growing in you and growing in you and growing in our faith so that when the time comes, if the time comes, that we're ready to stand for you, whether it's something simple or whether it's something extreme, dear Lord. It's scary to even think about these things. But I pray, God, that you help us to remember your word and to live by it. I thank you for the ones that's come. I pray that you just bless us from being part of this and getting to hear about all these great folks. And we thank you for being good to us. I thank you for the good food that we're going to snack on tonight. I pray that you'd bless it, bless our time together. Give us a good trip home and a good week. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen.